Hello, everyone. It's the Bookcast episode number 150. My name's Stephen, and we've got a menagerie of people today to talk about the things that have been going on in Nintendo land. So firstly, we have James. How are you?
I am grand and here.
Well, that's, we're very thankful for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Troy's here as well. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, and Daniel also is here. I almost forgot his name. How are you?
How did you forgot my name? You've, like, known
it's
me for
in my
like
head,
your
flame. You don't have a name. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, never going to escape Flame Condor. Remember, kids, make sure you choose your online your first online username correctly, because you'll be stuck with it forever.
And when you're stuck with it forever, you'll be able to play games such as ARMS. Which is a game that was detailed in with a lot more information today, or just a little bit earlier on today, in a Nintendo Direct. So yeah, there were a whole bunch of game modes announced for ARMS that we hadn't really seen previously. So there's Versus mode, a Grand Prix mode, Party mode, Ranked mode, and a bunch of others that I saw. The most interesting part to me is how sort of extensive the multiplayer options are, with how many people and consoles you can have connected at any point. From what I can tell, it looks like there's up to 20 players with 10 consoles online. And
it's insane.
Yeah, and with local multiplayer, apparently up to 8 consoles can connect together. That's a little bit ridiculous. Like,
is this like considering this in a lobby or in a match?
In a lobby, from what I gather. So I think you could do a lobby of 2v2 matches, but all 8 people in the same lobby, I think.
Did you get a chance to watch the Direct yet,
yes,
Stephen? Because I know you said you had it. Okay. So yeah, like the way lobby works is like up to 20 people are all in that lobby, and then some will get paired off into one mode, and then others will get paired off into like another mode, and just whatever. I don't know if you get to decide who plays who, or just whatever, but it's certainly ambitious.
Well, yeah, considering that I struggle to keep a connection up between 3 Switches playing Mario Kart, I think 8, I will believe it when I see it.
But yeah, so much just multiplayer modes and content. And I mean, like, look at Splatoon, and like when you're playing online in Splatoon, it's really only just the the usual turf warfare mode that sort of everyone gets put in their time, unless there's a special event on, or am I wrong?
Well, I think Ranked is usually a bit more, has a bit more variety in it. Am I right, Troy?
Sorry?
Yeah, it's so in Splatoon, usually you do non-Turf War matches in Ranked, because they had like the Capture the Flag or the other modes from memory. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's like Rainmaker and Tower Control and Splat Zones.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go, Daniel. Now you know.
I never did Ranked because I'm like, I'm not good enough. I just want to like swim around like an idiot and, you know.
Well, that's the idea of Ranked. You'll get in a low rank and have low rank friends to hang out with.
You're all the Povo friends. You're not as good as the high rank ones. So we'll all hang out together.
But yeah, there were also some other characters shown off. They put in a lot of effort to give backstories to all the characters that had already been announced, but they also...
Sorry, just getting on backstory. Yeah. That's what I love. Just from this Direct, it's like they're doing this Splatoon thing where it's very subtle backstory putting in. It's like the whole intro is about, you know, these arms sort of just mysteriously appear on people and all throughout time and all this. And I'm like, that's kind of awesome. And then it's like when they're going through talking about the characters, they're like... The is it Mechanic or whatever her name is, the one in the robot suit? She doesn't have arms, but she's a big arm fan, so she's built a battle suit so she can pilot with all the arms thing. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, like they've clearly got some people just dedicated to writing backstories for all the characters in the world. It seems that's a recent focus for Nintendo. Like you'd have, you know, your older Nintendo stuff was kind of the story that was there, but you'd sort of find that out throughout the game. But here, like with this and Splatoon, they're setting up an entire world before you even get to try it, which is an interesting approach and pretty neat. But yeah, they have some new characters that we haven't seen before. We've got Bite and Bark, Kid Cobra, and Twitter favorite Twintel, from what I can tell.
Can I just say, I saw her and I'm like, is that James's character? Because she looks like a giant character James would just...
Why do people associate fabulous characters with me? Helix is my character. Helix is my boy.
Yeah, Helix looks cool.
I will probably, oh no, I don't know, Twintel.
I'm gravitating to Twintel.
I will try Twintel as well.
But yeah, so...
I don't know who I'd main yet. I haven't really
Helix
sort of...
Helix isn't the best. The way he walks, the way he stands is amazing.
And having the shield... I don't know if everyone can have a shield, but like the way they showed him with the shield, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, just being more defensive and...
Mm. Like, was he the one that was sort of very turtly? Like, you could block and then regain your health and stuff?
That's the mummy guy.
Let's see. And, yeah, there was also, Kid Cobra and Bite and Bark. I don't remember much about those. Does anybody?
So Bite and Bark was, like, he was, like, a robot cop dude, and he had, like, a little robot dog beside him who would also attack, and that he was actually kind of cool. The Kid Cobra sort of didn't really appeal to me at all, because it was like, oh, he's the hardcore extreme sort of...
He's a fan of selfie streaks and live streaming.
Well, I mean...
He's the opposite of me, so, yeah.
But yeah, I think that was pretty much what was covered in ARMS. Did I miss anything?
They didn't really... I mean, the single player was just said to be basically a Grand Prix mode, and I think some of these random party stuff... Also, I was sort of a bit disappointed that there wasn't a proper... I mean, you know, fighting games, you know, that's sort of what the single-player content usually is, just like a beat-everyone mode. But I was still sort of hoping for, like, a Splatoon-style
like
expanded
sort
of
thing.
Single... Yeah, and I mean, I think... I don't know if it's on here or on Twitter, I said it. I'd love, like, a, you know, a Final Fight-style just brawler thing, but played from, like, the ARMS perspective, so you're just behind and you're just fighting through waves of enemies walking down a hall.
On that Grand Prix mode, from what I gather, it is your standard arcade mode you'd find in any fighter, sort of go through 10 fights in order and then you are the winner. But the coolest thing I noticed was that you can do that with a second player, supposedly, so I guess that would be tag team Grand Prix or like co-op Grand Prix, which is, you know, if anything, that's going to make me, you know, slightly more wanting to play it. It's something that I've always done with Mario Kart, so it's way more fun playing with someone else than by myself.
Yeah. They also showed off, you know, obviously there were some more stages and arenas, and I think that's another thing that's sort of being overlooked in this, is that all the arenas are sort of different and have their own, you know, unique style to them. Some will have like a springy thing in the middle, or one will be like a big sort of ramen bowl. Well, you know, you play Street Fighter, outside of the way the stages look, there's no difference between each stage, whereas this is like, no, stage is going to have a big part of what your loadout is and how you play.
I hate to make the comparison, but it's a little bit Smash Bros-ish, where the level is another factor in the, you know, in the overall fight.
But, I mean, that's half the fun with Smash Brothers. It's like, I like just going, you know...
Not for Steven.
Ones like the Pokemon Stadium.
Mr. Final Destination. Oh, sorry for swearing. Mr. Final Destination. No items.
Yeah, and we know what happened to him last time. We were on a flat stage, and I took him out with one hit with my Wario bike.
I don't need to be reminded of that horrible Wario bike. Triggered memories. No, it wasn't. It was awful. Kill it.
And there, there's also the party mode as well, which looks like. I don't know if the stages come into it as much, but it looked like there were kind of weird items and stuff going on. I couldn't quite make sense of what was happening in party mode. It looks to be the mode you play when you want more than 2-on-2, just if you want to go nuts.
Yeah. The global punch fire.
Oh, yes, or test punch.
Or test punch or whatever. I'm shutting up now. The test punch, so there's two of them. There's one next weekend, and then one, I think, like a week before the game comes out.
And the client's out now to download, isn't it?
Yes.
Cool, I'll get on that.
Which is, I think this is what the game sort of, because I still think people are a bit wary of it, whereas Splatoon was a bit of an easier sell. This is like, it's a very non-traditional... fighting game. I think like with Splatoon you could always go, oh, it looks a bit like the Plants vs. Zombies third person shooter games, whereas this is like, I guess it's like Virtual On or one of those sort of like arena based.
I think the sentiment is like, this looks really good, but like it's gonna be after like 3 hours I'm gonna be done. Like that's how I feel about it too.
Yeah, I feel kind of similarly. Like it looks like they're adding a whole bunch of depth with the different different arms that you can choose and like levels and all that. But in gameplay, I haven't had a chance to actually try it yet, but in the gameplay footage, it just kind of looks like long easily dodgeable things, and you just kind of dodge around until one of you accidentally forgets to dodge correctly. But obviously, I haven't played it, so I don't know if there's any. But
like
more to
Steve,
it than
like that's every fighting game. Like,
I guess like, you could say that,
but.
I mean, I'm seeing a lot of strategy in it when
there's,
I watch
there
it.
Is, there is, like, there's more to it than what you would think initially. But I don't know. I do wonder about the. I just feel like with, I guess it is like a fighting game, so it's going to be quite, you know, compared to Splatoon, where I guess shooters in general appeal to more people, like colourful or not. Mm. Whereas with fighting games, they're or they can already be quite niche, unless it's Smash Bros. But yeah.
Wonder if Nintendo will try and push it at Evo.
Well, apparently it was on the card. Like, they had a vote thing for some games to make Evo, and this was on the card.
Okay.
But it didn't sort of make the final, like, I think it was, like, maybe Ultimate Marvel Capcom 3 or something like that won at the end of the day for, like, the wild card position. I know, but I'm interested to see if ARMS is going to have a lot of legs. But they've announced that it's going to be rolling out free content.
Yeah, it seems very Splatoon style.
Similar to Splatoon, yeah. And that's going to include new fighters and maps and weapons.
They
and
really had
so,
to do that, though, really. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, Nintendo's getting right behind this, and they're pushing it to be the, you know, the next big thing. So I hope it works out for them. I'm keen about it. Hopefully we can get a good thing going on the Discord with people playing.
Yeah,
it.
Hopefully. I guess by the time the next episode comes around, we will have all actually had a chance to try it in the test bunch, so we might have some more thoughts to say there. But
next episode is just going to be games.
Speaking of content in Splatoon, there was a surprise little bit at the end of this direct with some extra Splatoon stuff. So the biggest part of it looked to be a sort of a quick look at the single player campaign. I don't really know much to say about this, so does someone want to take the lead here?
Looks like Callie's been kidnapped.
Okay.
No, is she the one who likes pineapple and pizza?
Yeah.
So clearly she's evil anyway. So
yeah, just, Octarians can have her, really.
You guys.
So the campaign's pretty much over before you start.
God, Troy and I need to have like a pizza party, and it'd just be like all the proper pizzas, no pineapple. It'd be great.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool that there's like a story this time. I know there was kind of something before, but you know, it wasn't as, I guess, prominent. I think that that's the one of the big things I really want from Splatoon 2 is for the single player to be more than just, you know, a bunch of levels together that were clearly tech demos at some point for the.
I think if I want to double check, but I'm going to say it anyway because why not? The single player content for Splatoon 1 was done by Tozei. A different studio than who did all the multiplayer stuff, which is why there's a bit of a separation. It does feel a bit different. But we've looking at the single player for this, it's like it looks like they're trying a lot of different things, and you know, you'll be able to switch weapons on the fly, or like you'll get handed out new weapons per map. Because before it's like you just had the normal splat gun. I don't know the names. And then you had to use Amiibos to use the different items.
They just unlocked new trials or something.
The different weapons.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, I am real. I really like the single player content for Splatoon 1. Even if this is just more of the same, I'm happy. And everything else they sort of announced for Splatoon today as well. It's like this game's going to just dominate Japan.
Yeah, I have to admit with great shame that I literally haven't started the single player campaign in Splatoon. I just only ever played multiplayer, but. Who knows? Maybe an actual story will be, you know, make it a little bit more interesting. Or, like, as James was saying, a more overt, obvious story rather than, ooh, there's a story if you read into it, which I'm fine with some games, but it didn't grab me for Splatoon.
I did like the opening cutscene. It's like, hi, I'm a famous singer. You might remember me. What? No? Really? Oh, okay.
But yeah, now there's also been some accessories that have been announced that are going to be coming out around the time of Splatoon 2 as well. So we have a pro controller with all the little splatty patterns on the main central area, and the little handles are pink and green, which I'm not sure I like the two-tone color scheme, but I know that there are some people that are all about that, so that's cool. Let's see, we've got a case. I think we talked about the Splatoon cases last episode or the one before, so that's kind of neat.
I think these are different cases, aren't they? Because there's really nice pouches that they're doing in Japan, but this is a different, like, the same as the official one, just with colours, I think.
Possibly. Caught me out not doing my research. Whoops.
Sorry. Whoops. Edit this.
Cut this whole thing out.
Shoot me. Take me out of the back and shoot me. Independent.
Oh, yes.
Independent thought alarm.
I see now. Thank you for vamping, but I have now seen, yes, yeah, they are different. They're more, I don't know, they look more like pencil cases, I guess.
I like the Japanese ones better. I wish we would get all that stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, we won't be getting, apparently, the actual bundle with the green and pink Joy-Cons or the individual pink and green Joy-Cons, from what I understand.
Oh, what? We're not getting those?
Or at least they haven't been announced for Australia.
The bundle comes with the neon Joy-Cons, so it's not the pink and green, which is really weird.
Oh.
Why? That just seems
I know. It's so weird.
I don't know. I guess they're saving all the for Japan.
Europe's getting them.
Who?
Europe.
Yeah, oh, right.
Oh, cool.
So, I think so far we have confirmation for Australia for the Pro Controller and the case, I'm pretty sure. Right?
So it's not a definite no, but yeah, I know that we've got confirmation on those two, and yeah, the others are, who knows.
The Joy-Cons look nice, the colour.
I reckon those piss yellow Joy-Cons are disgusting, but I like the Splatoon ones.
Yes. I do. I'm not going to buy any more Joy-Cons, but I would like a double green Joy-Con switch.
I am waiting for orange.
Cool.
That'll be when I know it is, isn't it?
Yes.
That bundle in Japan's just going to be like, yeah, no one else released anything that week, because you can just... Nintendo's won. I'm sorry for swearing. 150th episode, everyone, by the way.
Yeah, we're fairly good at this. So do we have any more Splatoon-y things to talk about before we jump into the games that we've been playing? Or that basically Troy's been playing.
I am excited to play it.
When's it?
Oh yeah,
when's it out?
Isn't it like late? It's not June.
July.
It's July 21st. It's like 2 days after my birthday.
Ah, well.
So I'm like, I need to do like a Splatoon themed birthday or something.
I'll just get you lots of pink and green balloons.
I hope that when you buy Splatoon, there will be a Metroid game inside.
Just like the secret bonus download code.
Yeah.
Now, the bonus will be a magnet. That'll be the pre-order bonus.
You joke, but I think I saw that as an actual thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure EB is doing magnets for ARMS and Splatoon now.
You can cover your fridge with various Switch magnets.
I love it. It's like Ocarina of Time for 3D. Here's an Ocarina on, you know, Switch stuff. Oh, you can have a magnet, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, Pikmin, I've got that stupid bloody clock.
Clearly, gamers have grown up. They don't want ocarinas anymore. They want something for their very adult fridge.
To put their car rego and, like, bills underneath their magnet.
Your Telstra bill and your home insurance.
Or your, like, travel loan or whatever. I'm just trying to make it applicable for everybody.
We're all very adult here.
Anyway.
So, yeah, clearly that's all that we have to speak about with Splatoon. We'll jump right the heck into the games that Troy has mostly been playing. Did you want to start with Fire Emblem or Minecraft?
Fire Emblem, I guess.
Cool. From what I can tell, this is the Fire Emblem that is the remake of Fire Emblem 2 from NES, yes?
Yeah, Fire Emblem Gaiden, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. What do you think?
I've only played about halfway through the first chapter.
Okay, so...
But the chapters are done a bit differently this time. So instead of each chapter being a map, each chapter's got a bunch of maps.
Oh, okay.
You actually travel through, like, each chapter's got its own little world map of sorts.
Okay.
It's challenging. It doesn't really hold your hand. I think even Awakening had it where you have two troops next to each other and you attack an enemy.
Yeah,
and
that had both troops whole, like, would be partner there. Bonus stuff.
Not there.
Okay. I guess, that was ever introduced in Awakening. So this, I guess most of the mechanics would be back to super old school Fire Emblem.
As far as I can tell, the weapon triangle isn't really even there.
Yeah, from what I've heard, that's not in it either.
Interesting.
Like, it really is just like a 3D touch-up of the original, I assume.
And no waifus.
No waifus.
No.
I mean, no plot-wise, there might be. It's kind of hinted at.
I mean, it's
like
Fire
the main two characters. Yeah. I also got to do a dungeon, which is like a third-person camera view.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a proper dungeon crawler. It's almost like Persona, actually.
Wow, like a...
Like you go through and you attack the enemy before they turn around and it initiates the in-game battle, which is Fire Emblem in this case.
Okay, so like just goes to like a small game map that you do a regular Fire Emblem match on?
Yeah, pretty much, like a quick skirmish.
Interesting. That's, yeah, I hadn't even known that was in this game.
That makes, it sort of helps it stand out a bit from Awakening and Fates, because like Fates kind of was more of Awakening.
Yeah, it felt like a enhanced, like an expansion pack, really, like a really big expansion pack. Whereas Echoes, just like the first area that you're in, it's like a little village, and each screen is presented like a, you know, those click-a-thon adventure games?
Yep.
It's pretty much like that. You just hover a cursor over things and pick up oranges and talk to people. And
it's interesting because it seems like from... I know a few people that are sort of all in on Fire Emblem and they've started to be a little bit sick of the direction that Fire Emblem's going in and just like the super focused on the, I don't know, the waifu stuff, for want of a better word.
What about just be thankful that you're getting some games? Like, what about the Metroid fans? Oh my god, I promise I will shut up with Metroid. I just feel I have to bring it up every podcast, but I...
I'll tell you what, when Metroid games start selling a lot, they'll start making them.
Yeah.
I'll take a Metroid waifu game.
Oh no, that'd be the worst. That'd be like one of those, like, make a deal with the devil things where he's like, yeah, we'll give you a Metroid game, but it's a waifu game. Anyway, sorry, back to
Other M is like halfway there.
Oh my god,
they gave her vulnerabilities.
Oh, no.
As long as no one's hating on Federation Force.
Back to Echoes, anyway.
The reason I bring that up is because Echoes seems like it goes back to before that was ever a thing that was part of Fire Emblem, I guess.
Yeah. Well, honestly, this Fire Emblem, the mechanics in it feel very similar to a Shin Megami Tensei game.
Oh, okay.
That's probably the game that I'd start saying that it's borrowing elements from.
Mate, you need to have your moment in a bit more quiet, Daniel.
Yes, sorry. He said the three magic.
I feel sick.
Yeah, so do most of our audience, I think.
Basically, it's more gameplay driven than waifu driven, and I'm really a fan
waifu
of that.
Waifu driven. I love waifu driven.
That will just be the name of the genre from now on. Waifu-driven RPG.
Waifu-vania.
I mean, I liked Fates and Awakening, but I did find the whole, you know, the whole relationship thing, I found that a bit stressful because I'm like, I've got to make sure everyone's happy and everyone's matched up.
That's like real life.
But I really like... Yeah, I know, it sucks. That's why I play video games, to get away from real life. But I like the core Fire Emblem gameplay, and I think Echoes will be... good for me when I get around to it, just for being able to just play those fun, you know, maps and all that. Does it have like the casual mode where if people die they magically come back to life?
Not in the same turn, so that Phoenix mode in Fates isn't there, but casual mode is, so they'll come back next level. But of course mode is there as well with permadeath. Yeah.
See, and the classic mode was always why I got turned off of Fire Emblem back in the day. So, like, casual mode, I can still lose a map. But usually what I was doing in Fates and Awakening is I'd play on hard, but I'd have casual mode. So I've got a bit of extra challenge, but even if I just scrape through a battle, I can still keep going on.
Yeah. No, I quite... One of my favourite features so far is that if your guys are taking damage in the middle of a battle, you can eat food to heal up. Including a bag of flour. You can just chow down on a bag of flour. Feel a
it's
lot
not
better.
Not how it works.
Well, I have evidence.
To the contrary.
That it does.
How's the story?
It doesn't feel Fire Emblem-y? I don't know.
It's probably hard to tell half a chapter in, I guess.
It's not about, you know, rescuing the kingdom so much. Like, it's very much about the bond between Ulm and Celica. And I don't think I'm allowed to really go into much more detail than that.
Fair enough. Cool. Any more Fire Emblem-y things before we move on?
I think this is a good direction. I would like future Fire Emblems to be more based off this one than Fates.
I think I really like the idea of making the old Fire Emblem games accessible to the West, I guess, because, like, they were something that we all learned about when Marth and Roy were in Smash, but you really couldn't play any of the games until the, you know, Game Boy Advance remakes and original games started appearing. But there's a whole, yeah, whole bunch of Fire Emblem games that are just inaccessible unless, yeah, you have, like, translation patches or various other means. Well,
I'm told that there's, like, a trilogy of sorts after this one.
Okay.
And that's, like, particularly interesting.
Like, the Super NES one, I don't know, I think it might be the last one, or...
It's like a Thassia 776. Yeah, I've heard
nothing but good stuff about that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I wanna
so if they do, like, these enhanced remakes, it's kind of like Wonder Boy in that sense. It's like the classic game with, like, a new coat of paint over the top of it. But obviously this is a bit more in-depth than that.
Yeah, seems that way. Cool, well, let's hope for that trilogy on the Switch.
Well, they have announced Fire Emblem for the Switch coming next year, so it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, but that, you know, it's going to be a waifu game.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Fire Emblem Heroes, slightly less mobile. So, yeah.
Mobile-ish.
Speaking of, we should move on to Minecraft, which I've played on other platforms, so I can probably join in a little bit more in this, but you've been playing it on Switch, so as far as I can tell.
Yeah, we have Vooktopia. That's the name of our
world.
What
is your main monument in Vooktopia?
A pile of dirt. I don't know. We have a giant tower so that if we get lost, we can look around for the tower. But the draw distance is still kind of lame, so it doesn't really work. It's pretty much Minecraft. I haven't played it for years.
I'm shocked.
I haven't played it for years, so there's a ton of changes. Like, I go underground and there's, like, granite now and other things, and I just don't know what they are. They all look like gravel, so it just messes me up.
Like, from what I can tell, it's the same Minecraft that's on consoles. Like, you've got the PC version, which will have, like, persistent worlds on servers and stuff, and whereas the console ones, it'll save the world in your particular instance or save of the game, and other people can join it, but it doesn't exist unless you're physically playing it at the time. I'm guessing it's the same for Switch.
Yeah, it's pretty much one of the guys on the Discord has the world on his Switch, and whenever he's online, we can join it.
Oh, okay.
But they are bringing Realms to console this year at some point, I'm told.
Okay, is that like the persistent stuff?
Realms is, yeah, it's like servers, basically.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you like rent it.
That'll be really cool once.
Yeah.
That'll be really cool once that hooks up. Does it have touchscreen controls in tablet mode?
Not controls.
In hand.
But you can change things on the toolbar. It's not really that handy, to be honest.
But I don't even think the Vita version could do that.
Yeah, well.
It's like the only version I own, I think. Not that I've played it.
Yeah, it's... there's not much you can really say about Minecraft as the game. Everyone's familiar with it by this point.
It's super Lego.
Yeah.
But there are some, like, online multiplayer modes, aren't there?
Yeah, we haven't really tried them out yet.
Okay.
I'm not the one doing the review. Someone else is. So hopefully I get to help them out testing it.
I don't know, like, if you're familiar with the other versions or not, but is there, like, the feeling that this version is, like, left behind when it comes to updates and stuff, or are they all on the same level, or...
As far as I can tell, it's the same level. Yeah. Like, the update version, I looked it up, for the Switch, is the PC version from last November.
Okay.
So, the way updates work for Minecraft, I think that's actually fairly
recent.
Yeah,
like, PC will always be ahead, but that seems pretty good anyway.
As long as it's on the same level as the other consoles, I'm pretty happy.
I think it's fairly close. But the way I'm told that they do it is the port is, it's almost like an emulation shell type thing.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
In not quite, but like that gets ported to the consoles and then the game content itself kind of just gets plugged into it, and that's how they do the updates all at once.
I'm super keen to get into it. I mean, I really do want to get into Minecraft, and I think a game like this at the moment where I'm just sort of looking for something a bit bigger and beefier to play on the Switch now that I've finished Zelda. Would be good, but I'm sort of also kind of holding out. Like, I want the retail version because it'd be nice to have on the shelf and take up space.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Space.
The thing with Minecraft is I've been several playing times since before it was released, so like alpha version or whatever it was called. And the way that they just rapidly added features until release kind of skewed my view on Minecraft, and taking a many-year break and jumping back in with the Switch version, it feels like a fully-fledged adventure survival game now.
Yeah, I totally felt that way, like, because I got in back on the alpha as well, played it for like half an hour and couldn't quite work out what the big deal was and never really went back to it. And then a couple of years ago, I bought it on PS4, which is, from what I gather, the same kind of Minecraft-y experience that's on Switch now. And it just, yeah, exactly as you're saying, feels fleshed out. It had like recipes for things you could make, and it just was a bit more user-friendly and helped you along doing what you wanted to do rather than being super arcane and like having to
work stuff out. Yeah, there's surprises in the game again. Like, apparently there's polar bears in the game now.
What?
Yeah, and is this underwater temples that spawn.
Is there a big smog monster? sorry, random Lost reference.
You know, I got it.
Okay. I'm glad you did.
There's just all of these buildings that spawn in there. Like, in forests, there can be haunted mansions.
Huh, that's neat.
Yeah.
See, I like that. I mean, you know, that's...
French women.
Another Lost reference, sorry.
What the... Okay.
Clearly no one's watched past season two here, except James.
They made more than two seasons of that?
Yes.
Oh my god.
It's like when you find out they made more than one season of Heroes, and it's like, why? That was so good. They didn't make
But yes,
if Minecraft!
They
made more,
they would have spoiled it.
Minecraft! I mean,
yeah, so what you're describing, Troy, is sort of, that's what interests me about it, because, like with Zelda, it was just that sense of exploration and discovering new things. And with Minecraft, it's like, it seriously is just point a direction and go, and then just see what's out there, and, you know, it might be a thing.
But the thing with Minecraft is that the world is very much more against you than in Zelda.
Yeah. Which is saying a lot.
So, like,
that everything wants to kill you at the start of that.
Yeah, well, Minecraft, you still have to do the build a house in the first night thing, or you're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah.
How's the Mario content?
Weird. Oh, the skin, though, there's some, in the texture packs, there's some good surprises. You can spawn an Enderman, and it's a stilt guy. It's like a shy guy in stilts.
Huh, that's cool.
That's amazing.
I lost it. yeah, and there's like a world, and I explored it, and it was a bit weird. I don't know how I'm meant to play it. Or if I'm even meant to play it.
Yeah, themed content packs seem kind of a weird concept to me for Minecraft, but
yeah,
it's nice that it's
the Mario
there.
World makes it feel like you have to play it somehow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a Mario World. There has to be, like, an end goal or something.
It's like, nope, you just have to build a weird dick.
I remember when I reviewed, like, the Xbox version, there was, like, Halo World, and you just, like, sit there. I don't know if it was Halo, maybe it was Skyrim, it was one of them. But, like, it just played music, and you're like, oh, cool. And then, like, that was it. It was really weird.
Yeah.
This is like that game that I enjoy, except
not
Walkie.
Yeah.
See,
well, that's the other thing, is that Minecraft music is pretty, actually, damn good.
Yeah, it's the first thing I noticed.
C418, I think it is. Yeah, awesome music. And then you load into the Super Mario World, and it just plays full-bore Mario music at you.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, Mario 64, when you load it up and you can play around with Mario's face?
Ah, yes, yes.
Okay.
It's that. It opens up with that, and it's just full volume.
Like, Minecraft is usually, like, you know, calm, relaxing, like, almost trip-hop kind of music, but this is, like...
Yeah, like, ambient.
This is, like, blaring,
yeah.
Like...
I'm mining in a dark tunnel, and there's a creeper nearby, and it's playing the invincibility music, and I'm like, oh, I must be okay then.
That seems entirely inappropriate.
I lost my entire inventory.
And that's Minecraft. Did you have any more things?
You'll like it if you like Minecraft. That's all I can really say. The extra portability of it is actually great playing it handheld. Yeah.
Yes,
you know what you're getting. If you haven't heard of Minecraft, why haven't you heard of Minecraft?
So it's Minecraft, except you don't have to choose to get it on a handheld or a TV.
I guess the thing is, like, a lot of people who are jumping from Wii U or 3DS have never had a way to play it portably, and this is, like, the first time they can do that, you know?
No. There have been Minecraft clones on the 3DS.
But finally play
but
the
that's
real,
got like, nothing to do with what
Battle
I'm
Miner
about, so...
or whatever. Whatever the f-
But yes, so now you can play real Minecraft on a Nintendo system, although it was on the Wii U, but yes.
Well, apparently it's bigger on this as well. Like, the world's bigger.
Considerably. It's like 3,000 blocks wide now.
That's cool.
Squared. I can't remember what it was on Wii U. I think it was like 700.
Oh, wow, so that's quite a lot bigger.
Huge.
I deleted all my shitty Minecraft clones off my 3DS.
Good.
Yep, now it's time to delete your 3DS.
No.
I
got Dragon Quest.
Okay, moving on.
So shall we finish up there now that Dragon Quest has come up?
Definitely time to move on.
Well, we'll move on to nothing, because that's the end of the podcast, I think.
That was the best segue ever.
Very well done. So yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. If you're curious about things on the site, I'm going to quickly find out what's on there, because normally I do that ahead of time, but I didn't. I know that we have reviews coming up for secret games in the future, so look forward to that.
Yeah, wow. That's
I'm just...
If there's a Switch title coming out next week, it's probably going to be reviewed.
Yes, let's say that. Oh, we have a Vroom in the Night Sky review. Did we have that last time? Now you can find out exactly how good that is.
Because I'm sure everyone wanted to know how good...
Because Sploosh was actually a good game. How did they just not go, let's make another fun little silly thing. No, let's have a stupid witch...
I don't want to ask. I don't know what that game is, but let's not get into that.
Chinese off-brand Mario Kart Superman. It's like Superman 64 clone, kind of.
Because that's a game you want to clone.
Yes.
Well, it's got the reputation.
Absolutely Unstoppable Mine Run is another game that got reviewed, and Human Resource Machine has a review now. I think that went up pretty recently. So yeah, there's reviews. There's the eShop updates, which are still happening, still there on the regular. Yeah, that's the site. Let's leave it at that, I think. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, I am at Stephen Impson. If you want to talk to Troy on Twitter, he is...
at StuReview.
And Daniel is at...
Worth Nintendo.
And let's try this again. Where's James?
Oh my god, that was the other podcast. But so it's at Jam, so it's A-T-J-A-M-Z.
If you can work that out, then you've earned the right to talk to James on Twitter.
It's part of the test.
Cool, and with that, we'll bring this episode to a close. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.